This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for listening. Well, statistics can be really fascinating to some people, really boring to some people, and they can also bring up a lot of controversy and discussion. And last week, the Oregon Department of Education released graduation statistics. Roseburg High Principal Jill Weber is in here to make sense of all this. For RHS, kind of start off by giving us an overview of the numbers and percentages for Roseburg.
Sure. So it was pretty exciting to see the state of Oregon had 80% of students receiving a diploma. So that was the highest ever, and that's exciting. We at Roseburg are staying just around that 77% for the last 4 years. We also, though, can kind of share some other data because our dropout rate is 1.12%, where the state of Oregon is 3.26, which we're pretty excited to see that we're hanging on to those kids.
So if you have a graduation rate with the one number and the dropout rate with the other number, I used to be pretty good at math. How does that all work out?
So what the dropout rate is saying, are we hanging on to kids or not? And so we're showing that 1% of our kids are leaving the high school, but we're hanging on to them. The graduation rate is very specific, saying that in 4 years, students graduate with a modified or a standard diploma. So 77% of our kids are graduating in 4 years with that standard or modified diploma. But we don't just say that's the only thing we want to show a success. We want to also share that we have a lot of students that are completing within 5 years. When you start looking at that, the kids getting a GED or kids getting a diploma in 5 years, our numbers go way up. And you can see that we have an 85% completer rate, which means that 85% of our kids are getting a diploma or a GED within 5 years. So a little different than just that four-year diploma.
So somebody mentioned this the other day, because they were talking about how things have changed so much in the last 10 years in what people look for in education, and of course, technology and jobs and all that. Somebody even asked, do you even really need a high school diploma anymore?
Yeah, I'd say it's even more important now than ever. I think, first of all, the diploma is different than when I graduated. When I graduated, you need so many credits and just need to get D's and get through. And now it's very specific about the types of credits you need, the level you need, and you have to show a proficiency in essential skills. So that diploma shows more than just getting through high school. The diploma also is necessary for getting into the military. The diploma helps us know that kids are ready for the workforce, and we can talk more about CTE and the employability skills that the diploma shows. It's necessary for a two-year college or a four-year college. So I'd say yes, diploma is even more important now than it has ever been.
So with these numbers staying where they are statewide, the rate has been gone up a bit, has been going up. Yet at the same time, Roseburg's been allocating a lot of resources to try to improve things. What do you take out of that?
We put a lot of our resources right now towards the freshmen on track. And I want to be clear that a diploma is 13 years worth of work. It's not just something that happens the senior year. So when we talk about graduation rates, we're not only talking about the 4 years that students earn credits at the high school, but we're also talking about 13 years worth of work. So it takes a while to see sometimes the effects of the energy you're putting into a system. We have put energy into our freshmen on track because there's a lot of data showing that if students are on track in ninth grade, then they are more than twice as likely to graduate from high school. And we also know that if they're not on track in ninth grade, they have less than a 48% chance of graduating. That to us says, let's put some energy into there. We also know that students who are CTE concentrators that put energy into the CTE programs, career technical education, they have around a 90% graduation rate. So those are two areas we've been putting a lot of energy into.
So freshman on track, explain what kind of resources you are putting into it and what's involved in that program.
Sure. So before students even come into the high school in ninth grade, we do a lot of work to ensure that transition is smooth. We know their data. We know what the grades they have. We know what their attendance rate is. We know what their behavior is so that when they come in, we can support them. And we ensure we place them correctly. What academic supports do they need? What courses do they need? So we're preparing for all of that. We also have a transition program in the summer where some students come in to take some courses before even they start their first day at the high school. We have a Link Career program, which connects upperclassmen with lower classmen or these incoming freshmen to ensure that they have that connection when they come onto class into the high school. Then beyond that, when they start at the high school, we have something called a smaller learning community, to where there's three teachers, a wellness, a science, and English teacher, who share this group of kids. They meet monthly to talk about them. Are their assignments turned in? What's their attendance like? Do they need more supports? Do we need to bring them the counselor or a graduation coach to help support them more? Because we know that that transition into high school can be hard. And we know that if they do well that freshman year, they're much more likely to do well their 10th, 11th, and 12th grade year. We also have a team of teachers across the campus that come together after every grading period and look at the system, look at the data of all of those ninth graders. And do we need to do interventions as a system? How is their attendance looking? Do we know that during third quarter, we see kind of a rise in some D's and F's? So what do we need to do before we get there? So we're really analyzing that system, looking in that data, and making changes that entire year to support every ninth grader that we have on campus.
Yeah, I was just thinking, as you were talking about freshmen on track, backing up even further into elementary or maybe middle or a little bit of both, districts along the way sometimes really push the attendance aspect real hard.
Yeah.
And there's a formula, I don't remember what it is, but if kids who miss a lot of school can ultimately have missed a whole year's worth by the time they get to year 12, how important is it to maybe even look at sort of on-track concepts further back?
Absolutely. You're right on. That's what we need to be doing. And so we know that students need to attend at least 90% of the time. Otherwise, that really does impact their learning. And we see that kindergarten and first grade are some of those foundational skills are necessary. And if they're missing more than that, we call them chronic non-attenders. And we're looking at that data all the way through to see how that tracks. And it really starts building trends in their attendance and their learning early on. And if students are attending more than 90% of the time, they're likely to continue that trend all the way up, and it makes a big difference in their graduation.
Now, are the, I don't know if you have this number, but are kids who have been very transitory, they've moved around, not only within maybe a district at the elementary level, but maybe just your parents' jobs have taken them around the country or whatever, and they've missed school, are the graduation rates lower?
Yeah, they are. And so those migratory students, we do monitor them, and we try to help support them best we can, but it is difficult. Within our own system, we can make sure that we're using the same curriculum, we can make sure we're teaching in certain ways, so when they move between, say, Fir Grove to Green, that they're getting that similar experience. But if they're moving from North Carolina to Grants Pass to Roseburg, and maybe some of our students are moving four or five times in a year, that does impact their learning.
And I remember in my sophomore year moving from Medford to Hillsboro, and there was a whole program of science I never got because in Medford it was done 1 year and in Hillsboro it was done another. And so that kind of comes into sometimes states and even federal standards with when you do things.
It does. And our counselors are amazing. When a student comes in, we really analyze their transcripts. We look at what supports they may need, which courses they need. And we do our best to match that up and give them an experience that's positive so that they can graduate on time.
Now, for On Track, how many years have you been doing it?
We really have been concentrating the last 3 years in depth. And we started looking at data about 4 years ago, looking at that early warning system to identify kids who may need more support. But our On Track really has been a push the last 3 years.
So when do you think it will start to show in graduation rates?
I'm anticipating next year we'll see a jump, and the following year even more of a jump. In the last 5 years, we've gone from 77% to above 90. And this year's freshmen are looking even higher than last year's freshmen. So I anticipate we'll start seeing this jump in the next couple of years.
When kids come to Roseburg High from one of the middle schools in the district, it's a lot bigger number of students. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's the combined number. What is the Roseburg attendance these days?
We look at each of the different grades have different attendance, and the state shows that as well. So in the state, the freshmen, I think, last year's chronic non-attenders are 21%. We're at 18. So we're attending better. It kind of rises by the time they're seniors. I think they've you know, they have cars, or they may figure out how they can miss a couple of days and still be okay. So it's above 30%, 35%, I think, for our seniors, which in the state is close to 40% chronic non-attendance in their senior year, which is a statewide issue. It's something we need to talk about.
And how many kids are enrolled right now at RHS?
We have around 1,600, and we're anticipating 100 more freshmen next year. So we're going to be, you know, pushing 1,700 next year.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Jill Weber, the principal of Roseburg High School. They interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247 News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson program coming up at 1. Later, KQEN Local Talk at 4. Today, it's the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. Talking about graduation rates at Rosebery High School. Joe Weber, the principal. And how many years is this now as being Principal Weber?
This is my fifth year at Rosebery High School as principal.
How do you look at those last 5 years?
Oh, it's been great. I love the system. I love the kids. I love the people. The staff there is so dedicated to students, building relationships with students. They care deeply about them, and they're working harder to get better all the time. And I love what I do.
So what is the district doing right when you look at graduation rates? What are you saying? Okay, this is really good. What about other things that maybe you think can be improved on? Mm-hmm.
So I think we have a lot of things going well. Like I said, relationships, I think, is the foundation of what we do. And I believe that kids will work for teachers that care about them. We all have had people in our lives that support us at times when we didn't believe in ourselves. And I think we have the responsibility, the joy, the privilege of getting to do that for students. So number one, that foundation and caring deeply about kids is there. And I appreciate that. We also have believe that every kid needs a connection in the school. We have an amazing amount of electives and programs for kids. We want kids to feel successful in something and be connected to school in some way. So if they know teachers care about them and they have a joy when they come to school where they feel they're successful, then we think they're gonna come more. So drama, welding, woodworking, art, maybe science, maybe math, whatever it is that they feel good about, I want them to have that at school. So we're doing that well. Areas to improve on, I think attendance, as we talked a little bit before. If kids come to school, they do better. And when we're looking at between 18 and 35% of our kids are chronic non-attenders, missing more than 10% of their school year, we're talking more than 18 days in the school year, that affects their learning. We need to continue to work on that. And we have a lot of things in place around that, but we haven't figured out really how to impact that at a big level. But we continue to work on that.
So what can you do for these chronic non-attenders? I mean, can you start banging on doors or what?
Well, we do have an attendance monitor that looks at the attendance. We'll call kids in and work with them. I have a graduation coach that monitors that, calls kids in and works with them. My counselors will call families and say, hey, we're missing. We need you here. What can we do to support you? We've done that. We also have positive rewards. Every week we'll announce names of kids who have shown improvement in attendance. We'll give they do drawings where they get movie passes or food passes, or you know, trying to acknowledge that kids are working hard at those areas. And then even during quarter and semesters, we'll give away laptops and Kindle Fires, trying to see kids that if you come, these good things happen. So we're trying all of those. There's still some big barriers, and we're working on those, and we need to work with our community and with our families to attack some of those other barriers.
So what are the reasons some of the kids sometimes, or maybe from their parents, mm-hmm. but maybe more so from the kids, what are some of the reasons that they give for not attending?
Sometimes it can be some anxiety or mental health issues. So we have full-time counselors, therapists on campus that we will connect kids with to help bridge that. Sometimes it can be, I've been gone for a few days, it's hard coming back, I don't know how to transition back, I need more support. Could be I've been sick for a few weeks and I'm worried about trying to catch up and what does that look like? So providing some additional academic supports for them. Others can be family issues that maybe they do travel out of the country for a month out of the year and then they come back, and how do we transition and support families within that? So those are just some of the barriers that happen outside of school. Some are inside of school, and we try to bridge that gap the best we can.
And I suppose you have some as well where they may live with both parents, kind of on a split schedule, mm-hmm. things like that also mean stability is less of something mm-hmm. in their life.
Yep. And we have kids who work. There are kids that will work late shifts, and they're getting in after midnight, and our school starts in the morning at 7:40, hard to get to that first period class. That affects their attendance and their learning if they're not getting there on time.
Now, we've talked in recent years a lot about these career technical mm-hmm. programs, kind of the resurgence of things from shop to ag to mm-hmm. a lot of different programs. Mm-hmm. Does that keep some kids engaged through algebra and biology and things mm-hmm. that maybe they're not so thrilled about?
I think it comes back to that. I want every kid to feel successful at something. And so a kid may find success in building cabinetry and desks, and they feel so passionate and so good about that, that that is their reason to come to school. Math may not be as successful, they need to graduate, but they'll come to school because of those things that they're passionate about. They also may see this as a career for them, being an aluminum welder. Kids can leave our school with credits and skills that they can go right into the workforce. We're able to add, last year we added automotive back, and automotive at a very high level. Our kids are leaving either straight into the workforce, or they're going on to some very technical schools to continue their skills in mechanics. And so we're excited about those opportunities, and it does. It engages kids and gives them a place to feel successful.
How does the new alternative school, or the former Rose Campus, how does that factor in?
So Rose Campus is much smaller than us, and that really is the environment that it provides. So we have students who just feel the high school may be too big for them. They feel lost or overwhelmed, and that campus can provide that more personalized education in a very close knit. They have about 60 kids, I think, right now, 10 freshmen. So if you're looking at a class where we have 450 freshmen and they're looking at 10 freshmen, that can provide a different type of learning environment. They also have more supports there as far as mental health and some behavioral supports that some students may need. So that provides that opportunity for students to have a just a little more personalized education.
So for some of the kids there, is it not necessarily their academic level, but just their environment level of comfort?
Yeah, it can be. And that's what we primarily look at, is do they need that smaller environment? And so when we're looking at placement or where kids may need to be, that's a place that they can go to have that more personalized. We also will connect kids with Rose that may be behind a lot of credits. So a student may move into Roseburg as a junior and have 5 credits. To try to catch up before they age out is difficult in the system we have because of the way we have the 7 periods a day. Rose offers an online program where they can gather credits faster if necessary. They also have a GED program there. So students sometimes may say, that student with 5 or 7 credits may say, I don't want to try to earn the 24, and the GED makes better sense for me. So they have a program there where you can learn and prepare for the GED at Rose.
Now, online, do the kids come to Rose and do the program online, or are they wherever else, but then interact there part of the time?
It could be either. So Rose curriculum is primarily online curriculum in their 9, 10, 11, and 12. But they also have a program that's a connections learning where they can enroll with a teacher and do the learning at home and get some support through that.
We've been hearing a lot about the student success funds coming in. That's just getting started.
Yeah.
What could that do that may help this whole issue with the graduation rates?
Yeah, it's going to be able to provide some more support. So there's 2 main areas that we're looking at supporting, and one is closing the gap for students with disadvantaged students. So it could be looking at our data. Students with disabilities is an area that we need to kind of close that gap. My males graduate a little bit lower than my females. So those are areas I can look at to try to close that gap. There's also, and in doing that, we can do things like increasing instructional time or lowering class sizes. Those all provide opportunities to help us close that gap. There's also, through the investment funds, ability to support students' mental and behavioral health, which, as we talked about earlier, can be a barrier for some kids. So can we provide more supports within the school to help them with their mental and behavioral health and really do better academically as we support that?
I guess with this funding stream just getting started, too, you don't even know exactly how much money you're going to get yet, right?
Yeah, there's an estimate, and we're just beginning to talk about how we think that we want to use it this next year to support our students. So the estimate's there. The talk is starting. It's an exciting time because in my 30 years of education, I've never had this opportunity to talk about how we can spend this money really to support students. So it's exciting.
Do you know when you'll actually get a actual number?
I don't. I don't know when that's coming, but I know we have the estimate, and that's kind of where we're working from right now.
All right, Jill Weber, principal at Roseburg High. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.